and the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Strangers, but happy in His vineyard today, trying to help our Lord and Savior obey. Serving the Master through the noontime are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Weary and footsore, the battle is won. Trusting the promise that we'll hear is well done. Serving the Master all the evening are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
pathway to the throne. Go make sure that the gates are open, for my child is coming home. Gather all their friends and loved ones, clear a pathway to the throne. Go make sure
it is an honor to be here tonight and to be back. There's just so much that I could say and everything, but why don't we just preach and we'll just get to it. If I didn't greet any one of you, it's not on purpose. I just didn't see you or didn't remember. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll just get to it. I'm sure you guys want to hear me preach and not just stand up here and blubber and bawl. So, we're gonna read the whole chapter here, and we'll just start in verse number. I guess you'd start in verse number one if we're gonna read the whole chapter. So let's do that. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. Even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey, whithersoever I go. For I will not see you, now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost. For a great door of and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him when with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired for him to come to you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come unto you at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on their part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much. Salute you much in the Lord. That's a much. That's good. That's even more than the other folks. With the church that is in their house, all the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, on a personal level, I would love one day to be able to write like Paul. I mean, just my love be with you all. That's just a wonderful, wonderful way to end 1 Corinthians. It's just a wonderful way. Why don't we pray? Brother Tim, would you pray, please?
Father, we come before you this evening so so privileged to have the opportunity to be in your house and to be exposed to the Word of God. And I pray that you would help my brother tonight. I look forward to hearing from your Word, hearing from the man of God as he proclaims your Word before us. And we ask all these things in your Son's precious and holy name.
Amen. Be seated. We all know the book here, 1 Corinthians, and we know what's going on here. And a lot of times, the church there at Corinth, it gets a bad name, and we know that they had a lot of problems. But let me tell you something. We got two books of the Bible because of this church, and there's a lot of good stuff in these books. There's a lot of stuff that we can learn because many times we have the same problems. We have many of the same problems in our personal lives and in churches. But here, Paul is ending his letter here and everything, and he gets down to a point in time. I want to focus on verses 13 and 14. Here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. And I want to focus on this, and I'm just going to go ahead and if I mess up and I say something wrong or I pronounce something wrong, you're just going to have to get over it. I talk this way because of you all. So I was looking for a little encouragement from my daughter, and I said, how do you say this, or how, this phrase, there's this phrase. She goes, Dad, I don't know your English anymore. And I said, well, I think my English is better than yours, I believe. So anyway, but here, we're just going to just look at this here. It's an encouraging thing. I mean, here he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And we've heard this preached a million times, and I know that I'm not going to be able to preach anything new, but you know, the Lord laid it on my heart to preach this, and that's what we're going to be here. And he says here, watch ye, and we know ye is plural. It's for all of them. Watch ye. I mean, if I said watch ye, it's for all y'all. I mean, it's for everybody. And we understand that. We understand that this is plural. The plural to watch is to be attentive, to be vigilant in preparation for an event or a trial or someone. You know, these folks here, whose arrival were they waiting for? Well, of course, we could say the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I mean, here in verse, Paul says in chapter 15, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall rise, we shall be changed. That's the rapture. We're waiting for that. We tell the folks all the time, I mean, I wish the trumpet would sound right now. It's okay. It could happen right now. And so we're ready for that to happen. But you want to understand something, that I don't believe that that's the only thing he's saying to watch. Watch ye. He says, watch for the coming of Apollos and for the other brethren. That's important, brothers and sisters. That's important that we watch for the other folks of our faith. We watch for Paul. You know, he said, hey, I'm on my way. I'm going to come. I got to pass through Macedonia. I got to pass through these other places. But look, I'm on my way. And he said in another place, he says, hey, wait till I get there. We're going to talk about a few things. And he said, I am on my way, and they're supposed to watch. Why is this so important that they watch? You know, of course we're supposed to be watching for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that, and I'm watching for Him. But also we're supposed to be watching for the other brethren to come and encourage us and to be there and do their job too. He said you need to be prepared to receive them. He said here, I like this in 1 through 3. He says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, and God, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality in Jerusalem. We all know that they were taking up a collection for, there was a great hunger in Jerusalem. I don't remember the word, but there's a great hunger in Jerusalem. They needed help, and so these folks were taking up collection for them, sending back to the church mother, you could say that. Sending back to the church that was the first church that the Lord Jesus Christ established. They were sending back help to help that church. And he says, listen, he goes, when I come, it better be ready. It needs to be ready. I don't want any gatherings when I come. I don't want people running around being, oh, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to do all these things. No, it needs to be ready. And he talks about letters here. Those letters need to be ready too. He says, y'all need to be ready for my coming. And he says that, and it's very important that they were ready to receive him. Why? Because he may come at any time. I've learned something in Chile, that traveling around there is not like traveling around here. Here, I can tell you, hey, I will be there at 5:45. And you can be mad if I'm not there, because here, most of the time, I don't have an excuse other than laziness, as we heard this morning, or just not being prepared. But in Chile, there's a great difference. Why? It's called public transportation. And when a bus stops at a stop, they stay there till everyone gets on. And when it stops, they stay there till everyone gets off and all the people get on. And it could take however amount of time. There could be, you know, there may be only one way to a place. There may be other circumstances. It's just, it's a whole different animal traveling where we are at. And so I know it was a lot worse in these days. They didn't have cell phones. They couldn't call. And Paul couldn't call and say, hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. You know, when we were leaving Wednesday, We had everything packed up, and Jennifer and we all been working our fingers to a bone. That's a phrase here. You know, we've been working and we've been getting everything ready for the last couple months and putting everything in storage. And I told her, I said, you know, I kind of envy the military guys, because the military pays for somebody to come and just do that. You know, just pack, here's the keys, pack it up, and we'll be in the other place, you know. But we did all that and had everything ready, and I'd set up a transfer from the church house to the airport for 11 a.m. And I had to run around. I got sick Tuesday, and I couldn't get everything done Tuesday that I wanted to get done, so I had to do it Wednesday morning. And that's not normal for a Baptist preacher, to put everything off to the last minute, and it just happened, and that's just life. But I was out doing things, and Jennifer calls me. She said, where are you at? And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, we're on our way. We're on our way to the church house. It's 10:05. I got 55 minutes. They called me. They're going to be here. They're supposed to be here at 10. Well, they called her at 10:05 saying that they were going to be there at 10. That's how it is there. And she said, well, no, it was set up for 11. And she said, no, you're responsible if you're not ready. And so Jennifer, being a very, very intelligent wife, when the guy got there, she asked the brothers in the church, she goes, take the luggage out very slowly. Just take your time, get it out to the place. And then everything gets loaded, and she asks the driver, she goes, can we have permission to pray inside? She was like, you guys can pray around the world. I don't care. Just pray until James gets here. You know? And so, but that's one of the things. You just, I mean, they were watching for me, but I thought it was supposed to be a different time, you know. But the thing here is, this thing of watching is different than what we're thinking of most of the time as being Americans and being from the United States here. It could be at any time. You realize the Lord could come back at any time? And do you realize that there's going to be no preparing when He's come? When that trumpet sounds, we're not going to be able to run around. Lord, I just need to do one more thing. Lord, I need to. You told me to do this. I need to. Nope. It's done. You know, we just had a wedding there last week, Kayla and Christian. And we had a wedding about 2 years ago, I guess it would be 2 years ago in September. And it was my first Chilean wedding. We had visited one before, but this time we were doing it at the church house. And so I didn't know that there was a custom there. I'll tell you the custom here in a minute. But, you know, the wedding's supposed to be at 6 p.m. And we're all there. And we're waiting on the bride. And I'm like, she ain't coming. I told my wife, I said, she's done backed out of this, and she ain't coming. What are we going to do? This is going to destroy this brother. And we waited for a little over half an hour for her to get there. And you guys are like, whoa, no way. You waited for it. Yeah, I wouldn't have waited. I would have left, but no. He waited, and he was just, oh, no, we're waiting. I call. Where are you at? Where are you at? Oh, I'm on my way, preacher. I'm on my way, pastor. I'm like, well, you better get here because we're waiting. Everybody is waiting. And so I never did understand that. And so, but then we're doing this other wedding last week, and one of the folks told me it's a custom in Chile to wait 30 minutes on the bride. It's a custom. I was like, well, if you know that you're going to wait, so why wait? Because you know that she's going to come, you know. It just doesn't make sense to me. What time am I supposed to be here? You know. And so they said, no, it's at 6, but she'll get here at 6:30. And he's supposed to wait up till the time that she doesn't come. And I said, well, that's kind of backwards according to the Bible, but that's okay. It's a different culture. We'll go with it. But we waited for her for 47 minutes. I thought she wasn't going to come. But then when she came, oh, his face lit up. And he was waiting, and she walked down the aisle. You know, but everything was prepared. There wasn't, oh, we got to finish up. No. They were ready. This is the kind of watch ye that we're talking about here. We don't know. You know, these folks didn't know when Timotheus was going to come. They didn't know when Apollos was going to get there. They didn't know when Paul was going to get there. In the same, it's kind of, in one sense, it's kind of like we don't know when the Lord's going to come. We just know He's promised to come. And when Paul wrote this letter, he promised, I'm coming. Just the same way the Lord has promised us. That trumpet is going to sound. And the only thing that I can say is to encourage you to apply this is, are you ready? You need to be. No, you have to be ready. When that trumpet sounds, you have to be ready. Because there's going to be no gathering. There's going to be no more preparing for that day. It is going to happen. And we're either going to be at loss or a great gain. Are you ready? In the same way that Paul was talking about here. He says, watch ye. He says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. You understand here the stand means to be fixed or steady. It means to not vacillate. And I tried to explain this to the folks in down there. It's to vacillate. You know, you understand that we have two kinds of electricity. We have electricity that's in a car, DC electricity, and we have electricity that's in a house, AC electricity. And AC electricity is alternating current. If this outlet here is 220, and I know it's not, but I'm using 220. If this outlet is 220, it'll go 110 above and 110 below, and you'll have 220 between the two points. It vacillates. It goes like this. Do you understand that our life should not be like that?
Right.
We should have more of and DC is direct current. It's 12 volts, it's 12 volts. It's 14 volts, it's 14 volts. We should have this type of life. We shouldn't be vacillating. We shouldn't be unstable. He says to stand. Stand. That means to be fixed or steady. You know, he says, stand fast. It's firmly or immovable. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stand fast. Immovable. You know, and he says specifically here, in. That means enclosed in. surrounded by the limits of the faith.
Amen.
The faith. The faith once delivered to the saints. You guys, you all remember the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Baptist flag and to the faith once delivered unto the saints. I will ever remain faithful to the tie that binds us together, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope of our Lord's soon return. I may mess it up a little bit, but you understand. The faith. Not a faith. Not one of many faiths. The faith. The faith once delivered to the saints. The faith that is mine. The faith that the Lord Jesus Christ authored and finished. He is the author and finisher, finishers, right, of our faith. What did He say on the cross in John 19:30? It is finished. He finished it. We should stand fast in the faith that we have. We should stand fast in the doctrine that we have and not move, not vacillate. Not be, this day I'll go this way. Oh no, tomorrow down here. No, firm, immovable. And this is something that we must determine. Before a situation. Because if we've not determined that this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going to do before a situation, we're going to vacillate. We're going to do something else. We have to determine that I'm going to remain in the confines of my faith, the faith that I have in this book. That must be determined. Now, brethren. This morning, I was telling preacher, hey, I'm not repeating what you preached this morning. We for our doctrine and for our practices that we have are founded by Scripture. How can I move from that? Seriously, how can I justify moving from what the Bible says, what is a clear mandate in the Scripture? How can I move from that with a plain face and not have shame? When guys are doing this stuff, they're moving, they're doing different things. Most of the time, I know now it's a lot more in the open. But a lot of times they start with the little things in secret. It always starts that way, the little things in secret. You know, a church may change their music, but they're not going to broadcast that on the internet. They're going to keep it secret for a while. And that's where it starts. It starts with the little things. I'm not using the Bible, not standing for the reading of the Scripture. Hey, listen, we have a pulpit here. And not only this is the pulpit, this is the pulpit. It's a platform, it's a pulpit. And, you know, we have biblical foundation, we have examples in the Bible of using, of standing while the Word of God is read. We should, to honor the Word of God. We have, if not, why have a pulpit? What's the difference? I get up here and read, I don't know what Joel Osteen's newest book is, but read his book. Here, let's read out of his book and teach something. Or, I don't know if Joyce Myers is still a thing, that lady. Or some other folks. But basically any other man. The Sunday school material and the things that we use are based in the Scripture. And that's why we use it. We don't, you know, we went to a church one time in Texas. I don't remember the name of it. Doesn't make any difference. But we sat in Sunday school. It was just a drop-in. We didn't have a meeting on a Sunday morning. And we just sat in Sunday school. And I sat back in the back with my family. And they got up and they started teaching on the inerrancy and the infallibility and how correct the Word of God is. They never once opened the Bible. They never once quoted a scripture or anything. I don't get mad real easy anymore. I got mad. I got upset. And they had a Spanish work in the back, and we didn't even speak Spanish at the time. I said, we're going to that for Sunday morning service. I'm not sitting through this again. My kids can't even learn anything. They might as well sit in a Spanish church where they can't understand anything other than hola and ciao. Because if we're not going to use the Word of God, what difference does it make if we understand what the man is saying? Because it doesn't make any difference. There's only one thing that's never going to change, and it's this.
Amen.
We're supposed to stand fast in the faith. He says here, quit you like men. It doesn't say be quitters like some men. He says, quit you like men. And you know, I love our Bible. I love the fact that I can look up a word. Like, if you just read that, if some millennial person or whatever read that verse, quit you like men. Quit. I quit the job, my job last week. That kind of quit. No, it means to carry through. To do or perform something to the end. So that nothing remains. To discharge or perform completely. We're missing that. We have so many people. I couldn't even tell you how many missionaries were on deputation with us. Went to the field and left the field while we've been on the field for 4 years. They just, something happened and they left. They spent all this time, and I tell you something, deputation is not easy. It's not easy on your vehicle, it's not easy on your family, it's not easy on your faith. Because you're going to so many different churches and so many different places, and we tried to stay in churches that were exactly like us. I tried to find out everything I could about churches before we went to one. We always want to be a proper representative of the doctrine and standards of whatever church is supporting us. Because I believe that that's important, and that's what I was taught here. We need to carry through. Do you realize sometimes we make a decision, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And sometimes we don't carry through. I believe I'm saying that right. I think that's the right phrase. We don't carry through. We don't follow through. We don't perform it to the end. We need to, if we were going to, you know, one of the things is when we were doing fixing up the building that we're in now, we're renting, the lady said, don't make what is supposed to be temporary permanent. Because that's a problem here, preacher, pastor. Things that are temporary, it works, it's fine, it's permanent now. They don't finish, they don't terminate a project. You know, like we would do in here, but we wouldn't do any of the trim. We'd have the lights hanging by the wires. It works. And never finish it. But I think, personally, that there's a lot that we can learn from terminating something. To terminate a project. To follow something through. To perform it completely. To where we can look back and be like, it's done. I could have did this different, this different, this different. But I learned. In my next one, I will do this different, this different, and this different. Where's that at? In our society, many of the young folks now, the only thing that they perform to the end is a video game. Until they die and they get a new life, right? We need to carry through. We need to perform. And he says, quit you like men. Like men. You notice here in the first part, he says, watch ye. It's plural. That's something wonderful about our King James Bible. Ye is plural. And he says here at this part, he says you, quit you. Because each and every one of us has to make this determination, has to be determined to follow through. It's singular. It means everyone. We should all do this individually. We have to do this. You realize that if each and every one of you and me, individually, we read our Bibles every single day, that God's going to work in our church. He's going to. If we spend time in prayer individually, He's going to work in our church, plural, in the plural sense. I don't know. Some things in my Christian life have just been easy. You know, and reading my Bible and praying has just been one of those. It's been an easy thing to do. Spending time in the Word of God. And you know, I personally can't understand a Christian. I can't understand someone that wouldn't want to spend time in the Word that's alive, that can change my life, that can make me better, that can make me more like my Savior every day. At least one part. I'm not saying you have to read 75 chapters a day. It would be good. It would be great to do that. In fact, in September in Chile is the month of the Bible. Month of the Bible. And so I started then. I laid out a program to where that you could read the New Testament in 30 days. And I encouraged everyone to do it. And I said, whoever terminates this, it would be correct to say that, whoever finishes it, we're going to go out to eat. My treat. You know how many people I took out to eat at the end of the month? I took my family out to eat. I said, well, we're going to do it again in October. And we did it again in October, my family. And it was just my family that went out to eat. And then in November, we finally had a couple finish it too. But we should spend time in the Word of God. I'm not saying, Brother James wants us to read the whole New Testament every single month. I'm not saying that. It would be good. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's difficult to set the time aside and do it. It is. And to do it as a family, how could that affect your family? But how could it affect your family if you just spend some time in the Word of God? 20 minutes, half an hour. Say, kids, listen, we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to spend some time with the Lord. How will that affect our families? It will. You know, and this right here, to quit you like men, this right here means that the you is each and every one of us. And like as in equal or like to. And it says men. And this isn't something like, oh, macho man, I'm in charge. I'll tell you what to do, woman. Well, if you look this up, the very first definition in Webster's for men in English is males of bravery, honor. Quit you like men. You know, I use this for the folks there, and the word there is varonilamente. If you guys hear that word, it's like a baron is a man. But, you know, we think of a baron, someone of respect. You get what I'm saying? We need to quit you like men, males of bravery. And we could look at this and we could think of, well, you know, in this time here, Paul was using himself as an example. I think he says in 11, 1 and 2, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. He had mentioned Apollos. Quit you like those men. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Quit you like men. But we could use examples in our own day. Could we not? It's not men worship. But hey, we have some men that we need to be like. You know, I told the folks, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but I told the folks there, I said, when I read this and I read Byron, and this is a man of honor, a man of bravery, a man of faith, when I think of this, I said, I think of a man you guys don't know named Brother Hubbard. I think of Brother Auger. I think of Pastor Merrick. I think of Brother Scott, Brother Sam, Brother Burr. These men, the men that if one of those men came and told me, James, you've disappointed me. You've disappointed me in what you've done. It would affect me. Why don't we have that? Why can't we, not in a sense of men worship or anything like that, be like, I want to be, hey boy, you need, to one of my sons, you need to be more like Brother Hubbard, or Brother Scott, or some of these other men. Men of faith, men that have shown themselves faithful over the years. And I was telling the church that, why can't we do that? Why can't we have that? As their followers of Christ, we can try to mimic, sorry, I don't know another word, them. Hey, Brother Hubbard, what are some of the things that you've done in your family over the years that have drawn you all closer to Christ? Hey, Brother Burr, what's some of the things that you have implemented in your family, or what's some of the things in your job that has made your job and who you are more like Christ? Or, hey, Pastor, hey, what are some of the things you've implemented in your ministry that has made your ministry more like Christ's ministry? Why not? Sometimes I think we're afraid what we'll hear. Because maybe, well, I could tell you something that I haven't done, something that you're doing. And maybe we should receive a little correction. You get what I'm saying? I tell you, sometimes it's easy to follow, but it's difficult to be corrected. When you have someone in authority over you, say, this is not right. And you have to make a choice. Is this God's will? Was it God's, if it's pastor, was it God's will for him to be my pastor yesterday? Yeah. Why, it's different today, other than my attitude. Amen. To be humble, to be submissive, to change. Be followers of Christ. And we can do this together. We're supposed to learn one from another, are we not? Iron sharpeneth iron? Or does that verse not work anymore? Can we not have conversations in between brothers and it sharpen one another? I'm a better, you know, hey, after this conversation we had, I'm better. I'm a better person. You know, I am going to implement that in my life. Hey, I am going to follow that advice. Quit you like men. Like men. Paul was admonishing these Corinthians here a couple times here, was he not? And they had to make a choice on whether or not they were going to follow. And there were people amongst them that were saying, oh, that Paul. That guy, let me tell you, he's not here. And Paul said, but when I come, we'll talk about it. Quit you like men. This should mean to be humble also, and to follow. And he says here in verse 13, and I'll shut it down, let all things be done with charity. This is a big controversy in Chile, because our Bible, our Spanish Bible, uses the word caridad, charity. And a lot of the other ones uses amor. Well, what's the difference? Well, I can confuse the word amor to mean many different things. But I can't confuse this word charity. Because this word charity here means in Spanish, amor abnegado, but it's selfless love. It's the type of selfless love that Christ had for us. And let me ask you a question. And why did he have that love for us? For our benefit. For my benefit. And that's the type of love I'm supposed to have for others. For the benefit of them. Not of me. Not of what am I going to receive from them. Not how is this going to affect my career or my job or anything like that. It's for their benefit. The benefit of them. And it may cost me something. It may. This type of love, it will cost me something. Because I will give part of me. He says, let all things be done in charity. And we need to remember, as Pastor said this morning, when we're correcting folks, it needs to be done in charity, in love. Hey, I was that person one time. I'm glad somebody didn't cut my head off because I would have been dead. If you cut somebody's head off, they're dead. You understand that? I'm glad somebody had this type of charity for me, this selfless type of love that they gave part of themselves so to benefit me. And just as a side, this is the type of love we're supposed to have in our marriages. It's the selfless love. It's the kind of love that is to benefit them, benefit the other person. And we have that for our kids. We have that for our converts. It's everywhere. We need to do all things. He says all things here. So we can do, if he says it, I think we can do it. God never gave us something to do or had some man tell us to do something in his word that is impossible to do. Let all things be done with charity, selfless love. All these things. So let me ask you a question tonight. I went over my 10 minutes, so... Are you firm in the faith? Have you determined? I don't know. Maybe it was different when I was training for the ministry and everything. I was just ignorant enough to believe that if God wanted me to preach, and God, I was supposed to finish my training, and I was supposed to, if I was supposed to be on visitation, I'd go to visitation. If I was supposed to go get Bible studies, I'd go get Bible studies. We'd knock on doors. Hey, y'all want to study the Bible? When we had the bus ministry, that was one of the most awesome tools that we had. I use the word awesome. I'm a missionary, I guess. But it was one of the greatest tools that we had for finding Bible studies. Because we were in those kids' homes. And be like, hey, Mom and Dad, y'all want to do a Bible study? I don't even know how many we did. But it was just, that prepared us for what we're doing in Chile. You know how we're winning folks in Chile? The Bible study. And I think there's a lot of people here trained to do the Bible study. Are there not? I think so. Find somebody and do the Bible study with them. Selfless love. Give part of yourself so that they can know your Savior that had selfless love, charity for you. Are you firm in that? Are you acting like a man of faith or a woman of faith? Woman has man in it, so I can say that. A man or woman of faith. According to the Bible, it's either yes or no. Have you determined in your life that you're gonna stay within the confines of our faith, you're going to stay within our doctrine, and you're going to do the things that we're supposed to be doing because the Bible says so. I don't need another reason. It's yes or no. And if you're not, if the answer is no, Why is that? It could be that you're lost. It could be like us. It's not that you're playing church, but you're confused. That you're not right. And you have days that you feel like you're saved and days that you don't feel like you're saved. That's the vacillating that we were talking about. You shouldn't have that. It's either yes or no. If you're not saved, why not get saved tonight? Why not repent of your sin and receive Christ for your Savior? Receive the gospel, El Evangelio, the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that He did out of charity for you. And in obedience to the Father, of course. If you're not saved, get saved. Just get saved. And if you are and you're not walking in God's will, you're not firm in the faith. Get firm in the faith. I mean, it's not that difficult. Determine in your life that I'm going to do this and do it. Follow through. Till it's completed. You know, when we did this pulpit, it wasn't completed till it was completed. I remember a brother bleeding all over the place right over here in this spot, but that didn't keep us from completing this. When it was done, it was done. Follow through. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I think that's somewhere in the Bible and maybe Matthew. But follow through. If you're not firm in the faith, there's no other way to say it. Just get firm in the faith. Determine. Make a determination in your life to do it. And maybe, just maybe, you need to pick out one of these men that God has blessed us with. And we say, buscar consejos. Seek counsel. Say, hey, I have this in my life. Hey, pastor, I got this problem. Or, hey, brother, I got this problem. Or, hey, I'm kind of confused. How do I do this? You know, there's no problem, like with the tithe. It's not foolish to ask, well, how do I tithe? What do I do? Is it off of what I bring in or my growth or what? What's the best way to do this? What's wrong with asking? And brothers, if somebody does ask, don't treat them like they're dumb. Have charity. Be like, no, it's this way. Or the better answer is, you need to talk to preacher. That's a really good answer. That'll keep you out of trouble. Are you firm in the faith? I hope so. If not, determine to be firm in the faith. You know, what I found out is many times, you know, we don't have to do anything other than just say this. God's putting something in your heart. If He is, and you know it. You know, I remember the morning that I got saved, God was showing me, you know, when I see you, I see this sin. I see this. I can't see anything else. You know in your heart. And with what God is showing you, make a decision. If you need to get saved, come down here and get saved. Ask for help. If you need help being firm in the faith, come down and ask for help. That's all it is. It's to humble yourself just a little bit because you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. This has all the answers. I don't have any more. So, pastor is going to come give an invitation. But are you firm in the faith, yes or no? If no, get it right. If yes, come praise the Lord for it. Are you saved, yes or no? If not, come get saved. Repent. If you are, come praise the Lord for it. And let's act like people of faith. quit you like men. That's it. Preacher.